Amen. Good morning. Good to see y'all this morning. Some of you got to see all week. That's a blessing too. We're still in 1 John chapter 2. And last week we looked at verse 18 and 19. And we'll pick up reading those again this morning just for the context's sake. Verse number 18 down through 23. So that's 1 John chapter 2, verse 18 down through 23. It says, "Little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now there are many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. I have not written unto you because you know the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also." And so last week we dealt with verse number 1 that talks about it being the last time, and I hope everybody understands now that we are in the last time and have been ever since the time of Christ. But I really believe that we're in the last of the last of the last. Yeah. And just any day now, as we sing, the Lord could come and get the church out of here, and those end times things just start rolling off one after another. And we look forward to those days. And like John says over in the book of Revelation, we say, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus, come quickly." And so we look forward to that. That's our blessed hope. But this is the last time, and we understand that there will be a specific person who is the Antichrist that comes. But even as we speak right now, whether he is alive or he is not alive, the spirit of Antichrist works even now and was working even in those days. And so we looked at the day that we're in, but also we looked in the next verse there in verse 19, we saw the departure from the faith. So we have a lot of folks there that, man, it seems like they start real strong in the things of God. And maybe they're real gung-ho and real interested, it seems, for a little while. But Jesse, it don't take long. They start getting away from the truth and start changing things. And Colby, the truth of the matter is, they might stay and linger for a little while, but time tells what they really are. And the Bible says if they would have been of us, what would have happened? They would no doubt have continued with us. But the problem was they never had the birth that Nathaniel was talking about earlier. And they never had that real change. They were interested for a little while. But then just after that, you know, for whatever reason, that spirit of Antichrist worked in them and they went out from us. And as I said last week, some of the worst enemies of the church today came out of the church.
That's right.
And that's just the way that it is. So there is a departure, and until Christ comes back, guess what? There will still be more and more apostates. Antichrist, people that are against the truth of the Word of God. And that's why it's so important that we know what our Bible really says.
Right.
If you don't know, it's real easy to get confused. That's why people's in all these false churches today. They don't know. They don't know what the Bible says. They don't understand it. They don't know how to rightly divide it. We'll deal with that here in just a little bit. But they're all mixed up. And you know, if you become a Christian and you spend your whole rest of your life never investing any time in the Scripture, then you're just leaving yourself open to all kinds of mess. And I say this over and over, but you can't depend on me or Kevin or any of these other teachers or preachers to give you what you need in 2 or 3 hours a week. It's just not enough.
Right.
And it needs to be a daily thing, a daily effort that we make. And I understand we all fight against our time situations and those things. And and obligations and commitments that we make, but we need to be committed to the Word of God. And so that way we can pick out these people, and they will be manifest to us, and it'll be obvious. So as we move on this morning, we're going to pick back up in verse number 20. You notice the difference. He's talking about these people that have the spirit of Antichrist. They were with them, but they have left. They've got out of that realm. They've went against Christ, and they've manifested who they really are. And I like that word in verse 20. He says, but ye. You notice the distinction?
That's right.
There's a distinction between those antichrists,
yes,
and the people who are really Christians, really Christ followers. We use the term Christian too loosely today, but our lives ought to depict that we are truly Christians, that we are followers of Christ and we look like Him. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. Adam, what he's saying is you're different than those that turn away. Those antichrists, those with that spirit. John's making that clear, and that's just, you know, a lot of people don't look at this way, but I think the Scripture is very plain that if somebody remains with us for a while and they depart and they stay away, Brother Cliff, they just manifest in who they really are. And so that's just what the Bible teaches. But in this verse here, we have an unction from the Holy One. Now that word unction, how many times is that found in our Bible? One time. That word is used one time in our Bible. And so it means a special endowment or an anointing. And I rarely do this, but when I find a word in the Bible like that, it's only used one time, that's kind of interesting. And so I went to my concordance and looked it up, tried to figure out, Adam, where did that come from? Where's this word come from? And it comes from the word, it's a Greek word, obviously, chrisma. And guess how many times that appears in the Scripture? It only appears three times. It's right here in John. And so John has a special understanding, I think, of the anointing that the believer has through the Holy Ghost. And you find that in verse number 27 down there. He says, but the anointing, so it's translated anointing in verse 27. He says, but the anointing which we have received of Him abideth in you, and you need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in Him.
Right.
And what he's telling us, and I'm going to tell you this morning, is that if you are saved, you have a special touch on your life. And that touch is from the Holy Ghost. And He set His abode up in you. And you cannot be a Christian without the Holy Ghost. And in fact, we'll read here in just a little bit, He said He'd be with us forever. There will never be a time from the time you receive the Holy Ghost. You can't get away from somebody who said, I'll be with you forever.
Right.
That's what He told us. And the Romans 8 tells us plainly that we cannot be the sons of God and not have the Spirit of God.
Right.
It is an impossibility. But we have a divine unction from the Holy One. Now, as we go on, so we see that divine unction, but number four, what we're going to see as we continue on there in verse 21, we see the discernment that is brought on from that divine unction. So it says, I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because why? You know it.
Yep.
You know the truth. And that no lie is of the truth. And so one of the main works that I understand from Scripture of the Holy Ghost is that He teaches us truth. And so anytime that somebody claims to have something special from the Holy Ghost that don't line up with the truth,
go ahead.
Then it's not the Holy Ghost. It's some other kind of ghost. But it's not the Holy Ghost.
Right.
The Holy Ghost will always point us to Christ and to the Scriptures.
That's it.
And so I think probably it is one of the most important works of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is the first one that made you understand the truth that you needed to be saved.
That's right.
I mean, he's the first one to shine that light of the gospel to us. And from the time He shines that light through the Scripture up till the time we are taken out of this world, guess what He's going to be doing? He's going to be teaching us and guiding us into all truth. That's His point. His point, Brother Jerry, is to point us to the truth, which is Christ Jesus. So John 8:31-32 says, "Then Jesus said unto the Jews which believed on Him, if ye continue in My word, then are ye My disciples indeed, truly." He's saying, you are My disciples if you continue in the word, and ye shall know what? The truth. And the truth shall what? Make you free. It makes a change. It frees you up from the sinful condition that you used to be in and looses you to follow Christ freely. He liberates you. And that's the liberalism that I like. I like being liberated, freed to serve Christ. You see, apart from Christ, apart from the Holy Ghost, we are bound. And we are bound in sin. And we cannot help but serve sin because sin is our master. But what Christ does, He makes us free through the truth of the Scriptures, through the person who is the truth, that is Christ Jesus. And He says, you shall know the truth. And the truth makes you free.
That's it.
And you know what happens in the life of a child of God? They get born again and they're bound by all these different things. And Christ frees them. But there's still some bondages that we fight over time. And the more truth we know, guess what we find out? The more freedom we have. We get more truth, we get more freedom. And I don't really understand how that works, honestly. But I know that it's true. There's just freedom in being able to lay some of those old things down and realize that through the power of God, I don't need those things anymore. And God makes a difference and just changes your life. He changes your desires. I'm not saying we're always perfect and some of those things don't affect us at times, but how many of you can testify today that God makes a real change?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I hope everybody here can. And that you're freed from some things now that maybe 10 years ago, maybe 20 years ago, that you weren't freed from. And if that's not your testimony today, I'd probably check up. But God continually does a work in the life of a believer. John 14:6, He says, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Hey, He is the truth. So the Holy Spirit, He testifies of the truth. That is Christ Jesus. And He says, no man cometh unto the Father but by Me. And as was said Friday night, I think Kevin quoted it, and the kids quoted it as well, John 1:14, that Christ was the only begotten of the Father, right? Full of what? Grace and truth. And He is embodiment of truth. And then Jesus went on to say in John 14, down to verse 16 and verse 17, He says, and I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter. You know, Jesus was teaching them He's about to go away, right? In John 14, that He may abide with you for how long? Forever. Is everybody here a Bible believer?
Oh, yeah.
So if so, believe what it says right there, what Jesus said. He said, I'm going to go away, and if I go away, I'm going to send you another Comforter. And I don't know about you, when did you receive the Comforter?
Yeah.
I got Him the time I was born again.
Yeah.
And so the Bible says that He's going to be with you for how long?
Forever.
I want to settle this in people's minds. When you get Him, He's promised. He's going to abide with you forever. He's going to make a lasting change. He's going to start a good work in you, and He's going to perform it. I mean, that's He said He would in Philippians 1:6,
right?
I mean, just continually, over and over, Scripture teaches that. But He's going to abide with you forever. And then He names Him. He says, even who? The Spirit of Truth. He calls Him a Comforter. And then right after that, He turns around in verse 17 and calls Him even the Spirit of Truth. Even the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive.
That's right.
Because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him, but ye know Him. For He dwelleth in you and shall be in you. So not only is He now, but He shall be in you. He will abide with you forever. Jesus Himself said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee, right? He's going to go with us all the way, always. And so I'm thankful for the work of the Comforter. But you notice that you can't separate the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, in any of these verses. You can't separate Him from truth. And you can't separate Him and truth from Christ. It's an inseparable group right there. Jesus is the embodiment of truth. The Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, all those things, the capital S Spirit. It's called the Spirit of, He's called the Spirit of truth. And what that's telling us is He's the Spirit that is derived directly from the embodiment of the truth, the Son. It's all one. And they're inseparable. John 16, 13, Jesus said, "Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, what will He do? He will guide you into all what? Truth. Truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak." Guess where He hears it from? Where does the Holy Ghost hear His message from? Where do you reckon He gets His message?
Sure, brother.
That's it. He gets it from the Father, the Son. Whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak. And He said, He will show you things to come. So, you know the work of the Holy Ghost in the life of the believer is to guide you unto truth.
That's it.
And we need to pay attention to the Holy Ghost. A lot of times we grieve the Holy Ghost. We quench the Holy Ghost. When all He's trying to do is try to teach us the truth. And I don't know about you, but I appreciate somebody that wants to tell me the truth.
Oh, yeah.
And I ought not get mad at him for that. But oftentimes we get frustrated when the Holy Ghost comes by and says, "Hey, what you're doing is wrong."
Uh-oh.
Or, "Hey, you shouldn't have said that to that person. Hey, you remember that verse over in 1 John that said, 'Love not the world'? You're loving it too much right now. Let go of it." You remember that? Hey, what about this? You remember that verse over there in Ephesians chapter 5, Josh? It says, "Love your wife." You ever get that one? Those hurt, don't it? Who's doing that? Who brings those scriptures to mind when you're not even thinking any bit spiritual? When you're thinking carnally, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, whatever scripture comes to mind, you're like, "Where'd that come from? Lord, I wasn't thinking about you. Lord, I'm enjoying this anger that I'm dealing with right now. I like living in the mully grubs every now and then." And the Holy Ghost says, "What are you doing there?"
Right.
Bullseye, right?
Yep.
We all do that. What He does, though, what I'm getting at, is every time He comes by, He reminds you of a scripture, reminds you of the truth. We ought not get mad at Him. We ought not get frustrated at the truth. We ought to be saying, as Brother Crespin, "Whoopee!" Right? No, really, we ought to be that way, right? That ought to be the heart of every believer when they're in the midst of something, in the midst of a wrong attitude, a bad feeling, a frustrating situation, anger, frustration, whatever you're dealing with. And when the Holy Ghost comes by and says, "Hey, you remember what I said?" And you just go, "Ah, I've done it again, Lord." And I appreciate Him coming by and helping us that way. And He will be. He will be until He takes us home. And but the thing is, the more truth you learn, the more He does that. That's exactly right. The more you have, the more responsible you are. You say, well, I don't want responsibility. Well, Christ wants you to have some responsibility. We'll get to that in just a minute. But the Holy Ghost wants to teach us truth. And look with me back in 1 Corinthians. I'm not making y'all flip a whole lot today. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse number 6, but if you were to look back up in verse number 1 through 5, Paul's talking about, you know, he's talking about, you know, how he came not to them with excellency of speech, with enticing words, all those things, bringing them all this special wisdom. But in verse number 4, he says, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. And that's how he came. And he doesn't want our faith to stand, he says, in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. But let's start, pick up the reading there in verse number 6. He says, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. In other words, they didn't know what we know. So we can hold them accountable for what they did to the Lord, but you understand they did not know it like we know it. Me and you would have been there at that time. You know what we'd have done? We'd have crucified him too. But as it is written, I hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. That's a special verse, isn't it? But God hath revealed them unto us by what? His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth not man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. You know those times when He comes by and teaches us things? Or when we're sitting here and receiving the preaching or the teaching, that's freely given to us. Freely. I don't have to pay a dime. None of that costs anything. That's freely given. They're freely given to us. So which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth. You know, He's teaching again right here. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual does what? Judgeth all things. Yet he himself is judged of no man. You know why it says that he's judged of no man? Because he's spiritual. That's why it's talking about. In other words, he cares about what the Spirit is teaching him. He's judging things. In other words, he's making determinations about how he should handle himself, how he should do things. Doug, what he should do, what he shouldn't do, what's right, what's wrong, what does God say about this? And if he judges it for himself, guess what? Nobody else has to judge him.
Right.
He's taking care of himself is what it's teaching. And he's judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? God don't need any instruction for you or I. But we have what? The mind of Christ.
That's it.
Ain't that special? So that mind that's up here and in here that is opposite of what your natural mind wants to do, that warfare, that battle, that's of Christ. If you're born again, you have literally the Spirit of Christ dwelling within your natural body. I don't understand that. And I can't see that in me, and I can't see it in you. But I believe the Word of God. And however that works, we are indwelt by the Spirit of God that's leading us and guiding us in the way of truth. And that's a real blessing that we have. And Paul, I think it was, put it this way, that it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. So literally, the Spirit of Christ Himself dwells within every believer. And he takes this truth of the Word of God and he embeds it deep down on the inside of the heart, so that what happens is every day in life, it just continually exposes itself and tries to manifest Him inside of you. And that's our goal. That's why Paul said, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. What God's doing is He's putting it in. And He's putting it in, and He's putting it in freely. Don't cost you a dime. He's investing, and He's embedding, and He's planting, and He's sowing, and He's watering in every heart here this morning. And the desire of Him is that we allow that to come up, produce fruit, show forth Christ, and bring Him glory in our lives. And that's what He's wanting. And that all comes from the Holy Spirit of truth working on the inside of us. And I don't know how y'all feel about that, but that's overwhelming in my mind to think that he would come and dwell in sinful man. Now, I know He cleanses us and cleans us up, but He's still dealing with this. And He puts up with it. Just like Nathaniel said, it's almost too good to be true, man.
Sure.
That's how we say it. That's all I know how to say it. It's too good to be true. But you know what? It is true.
Yeah.
And I'm thankful. I'm very thankful that we have the Holy Ghost. And let's continue on. I'm going to try to get through this passage. So, go back to 1 John. Back to 1 John. And so, we come here to verse number 22. It says, who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. And so, is that not the question of the ages? Who is Christ? That's what he's saying. Antichrist says Christ is not who he says he is. But those of us that believe say he is who he says he
is.
That's
right.
And you said this the other night. I mean, you were all over this. The Jews today are still asking that question. And they're still waiting for their Christ. You see, they missed him the first time.
That's right.
Completely missed him. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But to many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. That's how you and I got in this thing. They received him not. And so he said, that's fine. There's some out there that will receive me. And I'll go to them. And thank the Lord, God steered Paul's heart to the Gentiles, and he's been preaching to us ever since. But the thing is, they didn't catch him the first time. But they can't miss him the second.
That's right.
And you said that too.
Yep.
Already had that written down. I thought, man, amen. Hit it right on the head. As Revelation 1:7 says, behold, he cometh with clouds,
yes,
and every eye shall see him.
That's right.
And they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail.
That's right.
Because of him. You know what they're going to do? They're going to have an understanding for the first time.
Right.
That they, as we read, those princes would not have crucified the Lord of glory.
Right.
For the first time, they're going to realize, we have crucified the Lord of glory.
Yes.
And there's going to be no question when he appears that time. When he's coming in the clouds and he's going to have a host of us
and
with him.
He's going to.
You read it over there in Revelation 19, see how it's going to look.
Yes.
He's going to come, and there's going to be no question who he is. He's going to be leading this big fleet.
Hey.
And out of his mouth is going to go a sharp sword, and he's going to devour the enemies. All that's going to happen.
Guaranteed.
And there's going to be no question then, is this the Christ? That question won't even come up. It's going to be like, it's no doubt.
Yeah.
That's him. And we missed him. How did we miss him? But I thought about this. Matthew 26, 63 and 64 says, "But Jesus held his peace." This is right before his crucifixion. "And the high priest answered and said unto him, I adjure thee by the living God that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ." Because that is the question, right? "Whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God." Jesus saith unto him, "Thou hast said." What he's saying, what you just said is right. "Nevertheless, I say unto you, hereafter shall you see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power." And guess what he's coming in? Coming in the clouds of heaven. He's saying, "You've said it. I'm him. I'm going to go sit on the right hand of power for a while, but you're going to see me coming in the clouds." It's still to come. He is coming. Matthew 16, 13. We'll just turn there and read it. You know the story. But Peter got it right, didn't he? Matthew 16, 13. "When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, and or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, But what say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter got this one right. And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus went on and said in verse 17, "Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee." You didn't learn this of yourself. He said, "But my Father which is in heaven." And so we only learn this thing through the power of God, through the Spirit. If you learn anything spiritual, it's not of you. It only comes of God. But Peter got that right, and he declared it there in Matthew 16, but I love how he preached it in Acts 2:36. He said, "Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye crucified both Lord and Christ." He is both Lord and Christ. No question about it. Paul was assured of it. Peter was assured of it. Paul over and over, he called himself the servant of Jesus Christ. He knew he was serving the Christ. And what about John 4, that woman at the well? She met him for just a little bit up there at the well, didn't she? But she left her water pot, Nathaniel, and she went into the city. And what was her question? "Come see a man that told me all things ever I did." But what'd she tag it with? "Is not this the Christ?" Was she asking them if he was the Christ?
No.
What she was saying was, "I know this is the Christ." She says, "He's told me everything I did. I spent a few minutes with him. He's changed my life. Is not he the Christ? Do you not understand? He's got to be the man. There's no question." And she knew it. Jonah, she knew it. Down in her heart, she knew who he was, who he said he was. Mark 3:11, "Even the unclean spirits knew he was who he said he was." It says, "And unclean spirits, when they saw him, fell down before him and cried, saying, Thou art the Son of God." What about the centurion in Mark 15:39? He said, "Truly, this man was the Son of God." The devils, Luke 4:41, "And devils also came out of many, crying out and saying, Thou art Christ, the Son of God. And he, rebuking them, suffered them not to speak, for they knew that he was the Christ." Can you believe that the devils know better than we do? But there's still a lot of people questioning, is he the Christ? Man, if they could just read the Scriptures and see what thus saith the Lord, they'd find out. What about Martha? Martha, John 11:27, she saith unto him, "Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world." No question. No question about it. So, I mean, you've got Peter, Paul, James, John, Mary, Martha, countless others, devils, the unclean spirits, the centurion, all them people, they spent a little time with him, and guess what they found out? He was who he said he was. And that's just the question of, that's the question of the ages. And your eternity and my eternity rests on the fact of we either believe he is who he really says he is.
Yes.
Or we don't. And if you don't, and if you deny he is who he says he is, the Bible calls you in this verse in 1 John an antichrist. Are you the specific person, the antichrist? No. But the spirit of antichrist is in you. If you deny him of the glory and the honor that he truly deserves. He is, folks, who he said he was.
That's right.
And I believe it, and I hope every person in this room believes it. But if folks die with that question unanswered at them, they will lift their eyes in hell. There is no chance in this world that God has let somebody deny Christ, who he really is, and still go to heaven. Scripture is plain about it. If you deny the Son, you deny the Father too. They're a one package deal. God's not going to let you get around skirting around the Son of God. It just don't happen. It does not happen. He chose that Christ would be the means of salvation. He is the way, as we said, the truth and the life. You can't get to the Father. Don't matter how you go. There's no way. There's no detour around the Son. It don't work. And so he says here, as we wrap this up, so we see the denial there. I'm on the wrong tab. There we go. Verse 22, who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is an antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father.
Right.
It don't work. So what you have is you have that denial, and then there's a derivative, something that's derived from that. If you make that denial, then we can also understand you have not the Father. Just they don't go together. You can't say, oh, me and God have this special agreement.
No.
We hear that, don't we? We say, oh, I'll work it out my own way. At home, the Bible's plain. You can tell those people that say that nonsense, say, well, you obviously err not knowing the Scriptures. Because the Scripture's real plain. You have to go through Christ. And you can't have God and not have Christ. It just don't work. He says, whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. But I like what they tagged the latter part of that verse with, but he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. He says, you may not really know the Father that good, but if you love his Son, you go after Jesus, you get an automatic. You're automatically in with the Father. I think you've preached something like that before here. Maybe somebody might get an audience with Kevin if they come through his sons.
Right.
That's the way this thing works. You better honor the Son. He is the Christ. He is the means that God chose to save the world. And if you deny the means, you have no hope. He is our hope. He is our peace. I appreciate everybody's good attention this morning. We'll start back there, Lord willing, next time. Not next week, but next time.